Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Got Will Brooks in the studio today. Hadn't seen him in a while. He's chasing that dream of playing professional golf, but welcome back to the show, Will.
Thank you so much, Pops. Appreciate for having me on.
As most of you know, Will is my son, and last time we had him on the show, he had just decided to make the jump to professional golf. Had about a year left, if he wanted, at Tennessee Tech, and decided he was ready to go ahead and make the jump. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what that jump was and what's happened in this last year to catch everybody up with his career and how it's going. So let's go back to when you decided, Will, that you were ready to make that jump to professional golf. You know, we talked a little bit last time about what ended your decision, but you had a lot of time to think about everything now. So looking back on that decision, you know, what was really involved to for you to go ahead, even with 1 year of eligibility left, to go ahead and make that decision and jump in?
Yeah, I guess that's a kind of a loaded question, but I think it just kind of got to the point, and it really kind of came down financially too for us, right? Because we were looking at, you know, possibly paying another however much money to go back and play. And I think that was the initial, I think, point where it's like we could either spend this money on school and able to play another year of golf, or on, you know, going out there and trying to do the professional stuff. So I think that was one of the things that, you know, when we sat down and talked, you know, I was kind of big on my end. So
for those kids out there who are following up, and I've had several, I got to play a little bit more golf this year and was out on the course a lot and had several daddies and with younger kids that are coming up just asking questions, you know, about the process and what you went through along the way. And, you know,
we're talking about recruiting?
Yeah, well, just in general, from beginning, previous of high school, you know, on the TGA. And
I got you.
Growing up as a young golfer, you know, basically for you, it was playing as much as you possibly could. And luckily, the TGA had a junior tour that you could play on at that time. And then later on, the SNEDS tour took place, and you were able to play on that. Just talk a little bit about, you know, how much it took from you to be able to go and travel and to be able to play in some of these events.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I quit football in, what, seventh, eighth grade because of it. I knew it was going to take up a lot of my time, and I just loved doing it. So it was the only thing I really wanted to do, and, I wouldn't go back and do it any differently. I guess I'll say that. So
it's, you know, I'm probably a pretty big proponent of kids in high school playing multiple sports, but, you had made that decision. I think it was going into ninth grade. You had played through eighth grade and was fixing to go into high school, and I think, you know, Coach Maynard was out at Cookeville at that time as a football coach and was looking forward to you coming out there and playing some football. But you knew with the time constraints, you know, and really falling in love with golf, that's something you knew that you really wanted to do. And when we had that conversation, you know, I think you thought I was going to be a little upset with that decision. But, everybody's got to live their own life. And I could tell you were just – really in love with the process of playing golf and already had your mind on trying to play in college.
Yeah.
Would you say that's a fair assessment?
From a very early age, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think my whole outlook was no matter what sport it was going to be, that was the goal, was to play in college. And, you know, I played pretty much all of them, right? And I just, like you said, just for some reason that growing up, I just gravitated more to being on the golf course than – I think it was more of the practice time too, right? The ones where I wanted to be at and not where, and where I wasn't, you know, so I found myself more at the golf course than throwing football in the backyard or something like that. And, you know, I just kind of stuck with it and ran, and, it was a pretty good journey.
We're very lucky in Tennessee to have some supporters like, Brant Snedeker and even Scott Stallings, who played at Tennessee Tech and who you've talked to, several times, but, just being able to go out on a weekend at a course across the state of Tennessee, you know, some of the nicer courses that are available out there, you got a chance to play at an early age. And I think that was instrumental in getting you to understand, you know, what it takes to be a good golfer at that level. And then also the fact that you were playing with and against some of the best in the state at that time. Mm-hmm. Just to be able to have that opportunity in the state of Tennessee is incredible.
Absolutely. They do a phenomenal job. All of the TGA staff from, you know, running the state opens to the state AMs to just and down to all the, like you said, the junior golf, they do it well and they do it right. So, and I mean, it's bred a lot of good golfers. Whenever I graduated high school, I think my class was, the Tennessee was ranked third in the state of golf or in the country of golfers coming out that year. So, and I don't think it's dropped much since I've been gone. So, they do a phenomenal job. And, you know, all those guys in there, Rob Cherry, another one, big in Hayden Eccles in Knoxville, guys that, you know, we still keep in touch with, like as people who are, me and some of the, my other cohorts in golf, like from college and Knoxville area and everybody, they just really stay in touch with you. So it's a good family.
It's also nice to have someone, like Larry Pitts at Cookeville High School who you played for, is still out there and still doing a good job and putting together a good golf team of kids and families who really care about the game,
mm-hmm.
Every year. And, you know, he knew, we talked about it when you went in and got to play with him as a freshman that, you know, he knew that was going to be your goal and supported that mission to play college golf all the way through high school.
Absolutely. Yeah, he was very instrumental for me in high school and all the guys on the team. He's just someone you could talk to off the golf course and also someone who would definitely let you know if you were doing something wrong, but in a productive and learning type of way. So, yeah, Larry, Coach Pitts is, I can't talk enough about him. So,
and then, you know, I got to follow up. At a very young age, you know, you were out there working a little bit with Matt Manzaro, and mm-hmm. he is just a huge supporter and fan of junior golf and allows a lot of the young folks, the kids coming up, to play out at the country club and welcomes them.
Absolutely, yeah, I know. He definitely has a handprint on, like you said, a lot. He does tech classes, too, for the college. And, Matt's just all over the place. He's got it going on over there. Definitely, I mean, growing up at the course, just him being able to, you know, let me kind of do what I, just whatever I needed was more than anyone could ask, so.
I think something that I figured out, Will, with you that's a little bit unique is you absolutely love to practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not a lot of folks that can be patient enough, you know, to go out there and spend 2 or 3 hours, not necessarily on the range, but, you know, on the range, on the putting green, getting a cart and going out and practicing certain situations at holes like you do every now and then. It really lends itself to you being a better product as a golfer with the willingness to practice all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I'm kind of in that mode now or that headspace that that's what I have to do. You know, I mean, everybody else that I'm playing against is doing the same thing as me. So if I don't do that on a day-to-day basis, then I'm behind the eight ball, right? So, I think especially here recently, it's been a lot better as far as earlier in the year. And you know, I kind of I was watching some podcast and I forgot what it was, but they just talked about winning like every day. If you can, you know, break it down. Don't try to win on Sundays. You know, you want to try and win every day, so you have that feeling every single day. And I think since you know, that kind of took hold and I've been trying to live more by that on a day-to-day basis, and I think that's starting to really kind of help me in the golf game and in life in general, really. So, you know, I think that was very inspirational for me.
So as you come up through high school and you got to play on, you know, some special events and, you know, started to get a little bit of recognition, one that stands out to me was the East-West when you got a chance to play
Junior
down
Ryder
at
Cup.
The Grove. Yeah, the Junior Ryder Cup there. You know, that experience meant a lot. I think the West team ended up getting you guys that year. But the camaraderie, not only on the East team, but with all the West guys, too, was pretty special.
It was. It was a fun event. Just a group of guys. And we had, I think there was 4 girls on each team as well, too. So all coming together just for a weekend and kind of battle it out like you see on TV was really nice. And, you know, most of those guys you still talk to today, you know, made a lot of friendships from that. And, so that was definitely the highlight of junior golf.
I want to make sure I mention this because it was something I was able to be involved in with you was the Vinny.
Yes.
And Vince Gill and his wife Amy do an incredible job with that event, and you got to play in it that at the end of your senior year. Mm-hmm. And the thing that sticks out to me was, you know, it's kind of a pro-am format, and you guys, you know, you were the pros at the event, so to speak. And so you got to play with an amateur group of business people mostly. You know, a lot of Vince Gill's friends, so Country Stars.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Jeff Fisher was there. I remember there was a lot of folks there. And one thing that stands out to me, when we went to the dinner that night, Vince Gill gave every one of you guys a guitar.
Yeah.
And he told everybody in the crowd that if they were one of his guests, which was a lot of Nashville
country
music singers and all that, he told them if they were here and they were eating his food, that they were going to sign your guitars.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I noticed he called all of these guys up and gals and brought them each one up on the stage and sat and talked with them for 5 or 10 minutes to every junior golfer that was there. And that was like 25, 26.
There's probably, definitely.
And I was so impressed with that. And Will and I got a chance to sit at the next table from them, and you got a chance to talk to his wife, who you didn't even know at the time.
Yeah, I know.
That she was a country music singer, Amy Grant. So that was pretty cool. Just, I don't know that he'll ever hear this, but just so thankful for what he does for junior golf and the person that he
continues to do, because he was a big proponent in the early 2000s and or whenever it first started. I don't even know if it was probably goes before that, but he's a big proponent in the junior golf across the state of Tennessee. So he's continued to do that in all aspects.
Yeah, just pretty cool that they take the time to be able. They don't have to. And he's a pretty daggone good golfer himself. So we definitely appreciate them for doing that. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Will Brooks.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. Your host again, Sam Brooks. Got Will Brooks in the studio today. He's finally in town for a couple of days from his travels all across the country playing some golf. So, Will, you know, when you decided to go pro, we had a little bit of a kind of announcement, a media event, and you were able to bring in a couple of your supporters, which actually got the ball rolling. And just to fill in everybody out there, as you were playing high school golf, and then you got into college golf, we would have folks around the community that would come up to us and say, hey, you know, if Will takes this any further, I'd like to be involved in that process. And, you know, saying that and then actually following through that are two different things. But you were lucky enough to have some folks along the way that supported this endeavor.
Absolutely.
Especially once you announced that you were going pro.
Yeah, right. I think, like you said, it was something we really didn't expect, you know, in college to have that kind of support throughout the community. And even then, after we decided to, you know, announce it and tell everybody we were going pro, the amount of support and people who were wanting to be involved was, it was speechless. I was just I was shocked at how this all worked. And, I'm grateful for every single person who's on this team, and what they have continued to do throughout this year. And I can't wait to, you know, continue this process with them and hopefully on to bigger and better things.
Well, you know, we've of course got a few of your supporters that, you know, wanted to kind of be anonymous.
Sure.
So we won't mention any of those. And then we got some that were very proud of being involved in what we call team Willie Fly. Mm-hmm. You picked up that name at a very early age. We won't go into how you picked up that name, but team Willie Fly, you know, you got folks like, you know, Danny Brooks, who's mm-hmm. a local businessman who allowed you to stay with him down in Florida.
Absolutely.
You know, gave you kind of a place to stay that you had to pay for.
Sure. Yeah. Danny and Karen Brooks were awesome for letting me come in and stay with them, and they were we actually had a really good time together. I think me and Danny just playing golf, and Karen as well, and just pretty much all we did every day was just go out there and golf together. So we'd come back, eat dinner, and sit there and talk about what we did for the day and how we played and stuff like that. So it was a good environment to be around for sure.
So, Will, you started out your pro career down on what's called the Florida Elite Tour.
Yep.
And basically your home base down there with at Danny Brooks's, Karen Brooks's place was Daytona Beach. And then from there you were able to drive out to the mm-hmm. other events that were down there. So what was your first experience on a pro tour like down there?
Not too different than, you know, like we would travel and go for like a SNEDS tour event or an amateur event. Just the only the takeaway was just the amount of really, really good golfers, you know. That was the biggest – that was the first initial shock that, you know, there's not – everybody that's there is there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was – I think that was the first biggest stage to get through. But, you know, the tournament itself, it didn't really – feel too much different. So that was a good sign for me. I kind of just did what I needed to do and, you know, went out and played well in that first event. But, yeah, it was good to see and good to kind of get that atmosphere of that first initial experience and then be able to grow on it was nice.
You know, some of the other supporters and, you know, members of Team Willie Fly, just mentioned some names that they're okay with. Jay Albrecht. You know, Seven Senses owner, Rick Marsh, mm-hmm. you know, that actually lives up in Nashville, is a family friend. He's been around a while, has been, you know, talking about this for a long time. Mike McLeod, local businessman also.
Yes,
you've got George and Angela Rietgo and Steve and Sally Smith, which kind of combined
long-time
to give some
friends,
support.
Yes.
Yeah, George just, he calls me every now and then and talks about it and just so supportive,
yeah.
you know, of everything that you're doing. And no matter what happens, you know, he's been there. Steve Copeland, a longtime friend, actually my cousin,
yeah.
you know, CIA insurance in town. And of course, my sister and brother-in-law, Debbie and Dale Wainwright out mm-hmm. of Texas, were one of your supporters. You got Derek and Diana Baranowski that really have been just so supportive along the way. You know, Matt Mazzaro giving everything he can, you know, on his end to be a supporter and a knowledge guy.
Yes,
that's
yes.
been there before and on that side of it as a head professional at Cookeville Golf Club. Suzanne and Scott Woods just been phenomenal.
Great people.
Along the way. Greg Shelton, who is a friend of the family, who just, you know, out of nowhere just called us and said, hey, I want to be involved. And just awesome to have all these folks. And there's several more, you know, but we'll stick with those that are okay to be mentioned, you know.
We've definitely have a good group of support around us. And, you know, and that's the biggest thing. I think I talked about it in the media days. Like someone asked me, how do you see yourself getting out of the low periods? And, you know, I really truly believe that it's that support system that are around us that, you know, are there. And they've been nothing but great so far, and just being bad days, good days, doesn't matter. You know, they're right there, and we can't thank them enough for what they've done for us. So hopefully I've been trying to plan a little event for us, but I can't quite get everybody together. But hopefully we'll get that going soon.
Yeah, I think that'd be good for them just to be around you and see you on the course, because some of them haven't actually seen you on the course, and they're supporting you anyway.
Yes.
We knew going in this was going to be a two-year event, you know, to try and give you enough time to be able to break through. Mm-hmm. I think in our conversations, one thing that stuck out to me is, you know, how good everybody else is that's trying to play at that level. I think if I'm up to date, you've had four top 10 finishes, which has gotten you a paycheck, which has been good.
Mm-hmm.
Still trying to break through and, you know, to win a tournament yet. You're not being able to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole lot of people that hadn't been able to do that yet either. So you're still pushing the envelope and trying to create that opportunity, but your golf game's really come around here late.
Yeah, I've had some trouble there at the beginning of the summer, and just the complication of kind of doing a few of the wrong things in the swing and trying to figure that out and thinking I had it figured out, and only to go back and realize that we were kind of doing it the wrong way. Me and my coach Thomas Smith down in Chattanooga cleared that up. And it's just kind of been slowly coming back. You know, you gotta get those reps, and it's harder too whenever you're traveling so much, right? Cause you don't get that a certain amount of practice time before. So you're trying to learn, get it and go and play in a tournament and then come back and still do the same things. But it's been a great 3 month period for me as far as I'm gonna grow from this so much, you know. All the experience that I've had, and hopefully once we get this, you know, I started playing well, but we got to continue. But once that gets going, I'm really excited about.
So quickly, we got a couple minutes left, a couple seconds left in this segment. What's the biggest thing that you've learned thus far in this first year?
Yeah. The biggest thing for me is that I've learned that is if I just play my game of golf, that I have no doubt in my mind that this is the right path that I'm on. So that's the biggest thing for me, is continuing to commit to that dream, giving it my all every day, and you know, just letting this ride out and see where it takes us. Because I have a feeling that if I just get, like I said, get back to playing my game of golf, my brand of golf, that it could take us to some good places.
We're talking to Will Brooks today, professional golfer. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. Got Will Brooks in the house today, talking a little bit of professional golf. And continuing where we left off, Will, in one of our conversations, I think the feedback that you gave me, you know, and I've been lucky enough to caddy for you a couple times to kind of see what it's like on the pro tour versus, you know, what you did in college and high school when I was able to caddy for you there. And the thing that I'm seeing and you are reiterating to me when we have our conversations is, you know, shooting those three good rounds or four good rounds in a row. I think from my point of view as someone who's supporting you and on that support team, you know, when you shoot three rounds under par, you know, you end up being in the money.
Right.
But shooting three rounds under par is a little bit harder said than it is, but there are folks that you see every week that you play with that are doing that.
Right.
And I think that's probably the next big step for you. Cause when you shoot two under, one over, three under, you know, a couple of times you miss the cut right on the line.
Right. Yeah.
So we know that it's that one round of, and it's not bad over par. It's one or two or three strokes over, you know, an even round.
Right.
That's causing that. So, that's why golf is so tough.
Yeah.
You know, and why everybody's not able to do it, because right. number one, it's hard to do that anyway. And then it's very hard to do that consistently.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, we've gotten a taste of quite a bit of that, you know, missing cuts. I think I've missed five cuts by two or less this year. That's the next level. You know, we didn't really have a cut in college. So the only time we had a cut was maybe a state am or a state open. This is a little bit different, but I mean, also good, cause it, you know, you get to gauge your, where you're at, you know, and, having a few of those just bare misses is get you going a little bit, you know, makes you want to go practice a little more the next week. And, it's big for the experience in my opinion. So
let's talk about the tournaments. You were able to play in. The Florida Elite Tour was great.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about the Florida Elite is you're able to play early. You know,
right.
it's cold up here, and it's still messy weather, and you go down to Daytona and play in Orlando and Tampa and all of those places on the Florida Elite, and it gave you kind of an early opportunity to see what it was like.
Yeah, right. No, it was big. Getting out of the cold, just like you said, you know, just being able to be active during those months and have a steady basis of practice on a day in, day out basis is very nice that early in the year. So, it was not all, if I would have been doing the right things, it would have been nice. It would, talking swing wise. All in all, it was still a great experience. The Florida Elite Tour specifically runs probably one of the best mini tours that I've played on besides the G Pro.
And that was my next step.
Yeah.
Taking a look at the G Pro, you kind of went from the Florida Elite, got into the G Pro, played in some tournaments there, had some success there. And that was a tour that took you out of Florida,
mm-hmm.
Took you into North Carolina, Georgia, some different places around the Southeast.
Yes.
And then a couple of times this year, you jumped into some other tournaments that were available. I know you went to Iowa
mm-hmm.
and played in a tournament there, just getting a lot of different experiences along the way.
Yeah, it's been nice, you know, having to actually get a taste of that travel life. You know, I went to Canada as well in late April and Louisiana, Dallas, Texas, a bunch of different places. So it's nice to kind of get that type of experience as well as driving 11 hours away and figuring everything out and then having to play golf too. So, but it's been a great, I've enjoyed this last stretch of golf. I feel like I've played a lot of golf in the last 4 months, but it's been a great stretch. And, you just get to go around and travel and see different places. And, what's not to like about that?
One of your first, events was you took a stab at the Latino Tour.
Yes.
Early on and wasn't lucky enough to qualify there. Went up to Canada.
Yeah.
Thought it was going to be a little bit warmer than it was.
And yeah, it was.
I noticed the top 10 qualifiers on the Canadian Tour at the tournament you were in were all from Canada.
Yeah, right.
So they were a little bit more used to the yep. weather when you went up there. Both great experiences anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. Two Q schools for the respective PGA sanctioned tour. So yeah, a lot of good players. Unfortunately just didn't play too well those 2 weeks, and we kind of leave them with no status or anything, but a good level of, you know, or a good test of knowing what's to come at both of those weeks. And really kind of sprung shot after that and had a good week in Nashville on the G Pro after coming back from Canada. And
well, that's only because you had your daddy on the bag.
Yeah, dad, and mom was there too.
Yeah, that's true. Good call.
Yeah, mom was there too. I think I shot. I think I actually shot a little better with mom on the bag. If
no,
I remember
I don't
correctly.
Think so.
I think
that's definitely
true.
Not true.
I do think that's true.
No, it was better my day.
Oh, okay.
I think you ended up five or six under
shot for the tournament. I shot seven. Yeah,
seven under for the tournament. And got into the top 10.
Yep.
Made a little money on that one, so that was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nice reward. Showed you that you can do that.
Right.
You got the opportunity a little bit later. And along the way, actually, you played in some Korn Ferry qualifiers.
Yes.
A couple of them in Tennessee, and then you were able to go to some other places. And that's when the competition gets a little bit stiffer.
Yeah.
But that also gives you a gauge of where you need to be.
Yes.
To be able to make it to that next level.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, you show up on a Monday qualifier for the Korn Ferry Tour event, you know you got to shoot at least seven under to have a chance. Top four get in, and I think there's maybe one or two alternates after that. But, yeah, you know, you step up there on that tee box in the morning, you got to shoot 65 or less. And it's a fun day of golf, because you're just out there firing at pins and getting to go all out kind of. But, yeah, like you said, definitely you see where – the top guys on that tour are, and even some of the guys on that tour still have to come out on Monday. So you get to see them and watch them play. And, you know, like you said, it's just a good test of where you're at and where you need to be if you're not there. So.
So, the latest tournament, you, went down to a Korn Ferry pre-qualifier,
yes.
In Texas, drove about 11 hours, and we'll talk about the travel here at the end just in a second, because I thought that was going to be the hardest thing for you as a 23-year-old out on your own traveling and staying in hotels, and that's been something that you've been okay with.
Yeah. I mean, I like my alone time. I like to not be around people sometimes. So, you know, sitting in a hotel doesn't bother me. It gets boring. It gets lonely sometimes. It's nice when you have people in the area that you know and you can kind of go out to dinner with and, you know, not be in a hotel room for 8 hours of the day. But, I mean, I like driving too. You get on the road and get to go and you're good.
So, you got down there, Will, and it's a pre-qualifier for the Korn Ferry Tour.
Yeah.
And pretty good expense
for
for
Q school, yes.
But for Q school. And that's what you've been building up to, is to find some way to make it onto the Corn Ferry Tour, which is the next level of the PGA Tour itself. And so any success there, and you get the opportunity to try and make it on the PGA Tour. And that's the pathway.
Correct.
For all of these young kids or young men, young women who are wanting to get out on the tour. That's one of the pathways there, is using the Corn Ferry. So you did good in the qualifier. I think you ended up shooting four under total. You finished 24th on the list there, and that's going to give you the ability to go to the first stage of the Corn Ferry Tour, which if you were to say that was your goal at the beginning of the year, that would have been a high goal, is to make it through the tournaments that you played in, make some money along the way in your first year, and then be able to make it to that first stage of the Corn Ferry Tour. Right. So how are you feeling about having that success?
I feel pretty good. I think overall for the year, if we're speaking in terms of that, I feel like I've kind of not played up to my standards, but, you know, that's part of it. I've really got a taste of how hard golf is day in, day out, on this journey, but, that's the reason we play it, right? So, but I think, getting to first stage was a big stage, 'cause now we're in the hunt, you know, we've got a chance at this thing, and, I guess it's just time to put up or shut up. So
stage one, you got to make the, do you have, any
I'm not sure. I'm not sure the details. I think it's kind of the same way to keep going. It's top so much percent. So I'm thinking 25-ish will be this next event. And I think 25's for second stage as well. But yeah, so first stage it's the first stage of Q school. And then, so if you make it through that, you make it into second stage. And all these are just 4-day golf tournaments.
Right.
To keep moving on. So that after second stages, they call it final stage. And that's where once you make it to final stage, you pretty much have some sort of status on the Corn Ferry Tour. And, depending on how you play in final stage, guarantees starts for you throughout the year and stuff like that. So
you got stage one.
Yep.
You got stage two. And then if you make it past stage two, you get into final stage, which gives you some extensions.
Right. As long as you make it into final stage, I'll have some sort of conditional status on the Corn Ferry Tour. Maybe get some starts here or there, but yeah.
So we talked about your investors. You know, hopefully this will be a 2-year thing for you, no matter what happens the rest of this year. Mm-hmm. What would you like to say to your investors out there, knowing, you know, we have some we can't mention their names, but this is your opportunity. I mean, what would you like to say to them?
I couldn't be doing this without you guys. You know, words won't even begin to express how thankful I am for all the support and everything that you guys have done for me. You know, just being a ear to lend or someone to give me some advice and some motivation, and I need it. I need all that I can get. You know, and I like to say that I'm a good listener. So if anyone has some advice for me, I'm there to listen. But I think this has been a fun year for I think everybody involved, and hopefully we're looking at a little more fun next year. And to end this year. So,
well, we wish you luck, Will, and appreciate you coming on the show at such short notice. You jumped in town and I grabbed you today and pulled you into the show. So we appreciate updating your career and what's going on and really, giving the young kids out there who are following you up, something to look at and some advice, you know, along the way. I think that's very important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, thanking all those people that have really helped you along the way. So we appreciate you being on the show and wish you luck in the rest of the year and on into next year, we hope.
Thanks for having me, Sammy.
Have a good day.